Hey, church leaders, welcome to the Slingshot Group podcast. I'm your host, Tim Foote, CEO of Slingshot Group, where we help you build remarkable teams through staffing and coaching. And today's conversation is important for all of us because it impacts all of us. Succession and leadership transition at any level of the organization represents a lot of opportunities, but also some very real challenges. And this is an area we're extremely passionate about. We've learned a ton about this over 16 years of working with 3,000 plus organizations where we step in at critical moments of transition. This is so important because you've only got one chance to get leadership transition and succession right. And the stakes are extremely high, especially when we're talking about the top of an organization. So in this conversation today, we want to help you learn from some of the things we've learned to help you get it right. And I can't think of anybody better to talk to than my friend, Todd Clark, who is with us for the conversation today. Todd, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Absolutely. It's good to be with everybody, Tim. It's good to be with you, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate. And you're an experienced pastor and teaching pastor. You've served at some of the largest churches in the country. You've planted a church. You're an author, photographer, and you're a valued, trusted member of our senior team at Slingshot Group, and you're a dear friend. We've journeyed a lot together, and I've watched you talk to so many leaders and churches about this. I've watched you talk them through transition and the pastoral succession process, and I've learned so much from you in this area. And Todd, when you hear the word succession, the stories that come to mind so often aren't the success stories, are they? They're often the ugly stories. And so for something that happens to every church at some point, why is leadership transition and succession so challenging and so hard to get right?
With leadership transition, succession, when I hear it, I have a unique vantage point because, of course, I've read the books. There's some great books out there. I've read the articles. I've written some articles. But the biggest thing that has influenced and informed me is just 27 years of ministry. And I did not necessarily expect or want to have insight and be any kind of expert on transition or succession. But because of what God has done in my ministry, I've been able to see, like from a front row seat, some really, really important, high level, complex, emotional transition seasons. It started when I was a youth pastor at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, and Bob Russell was transitioning to Dave Stone, who had been on staff for a lot of years, decades really. And so you had an internal candidate transitioning into a senior leader role. And an internal candidate versus an external candidate are obviously very different. But I was able to have a front row seat to watch those guys. And a lot of people around the country know those guys and know Bob Russell and how he did it. And I learned so much, just absorbed that. From there, I went and planted a church for almost a decade. And then I transitioned away from my baby, from the church that we planted in Southern California, which was so hard. You know, it's like giving up your kid. And, you know, some people ask, is it easier to give away a 30-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid? Well, it's if you love your kid, it's hard to transition away, whether you've been there for 10 years or 30 years. It doesn't matter. Transition is hard. Succession is hard and emotional, no matter how many years you have been a leader at a church, or maybe you've been a long-term youth pastor or a long-term worship pastor. Any high-level leadership position in your church that you've been at for 5 or 10 or 20 years is hard to transition from. And so I've done that myself. And so I have some empathy for that. And I made a move over to a large church in Phoenix to be a part of a succession transition relationship with a guy who had been there for multiple decades. And it didn't end up working. And I did not transition into that role. And it was an extremely challenging emotional time with that church. So when you say succession to me, Tim, not only from the books and the articles, but three different places in my life where I have watched people do it or walked through it myself. And it gives me, you know, I just have a huge, huge heart for people who are going through this season of life, whatever position they are in the church or organization.
So Todd, let me just make an observation. Firstly, you know, we talk to a lot of leaders about how what you do in this season is the sum of all of your experiences. And so the fact that you are spending so much time in this season actually walking churches through succession and transition and doing lead pastor searches just seems like God's got his hand on that. Because to reiterate it, you've seen it from every angle. I mean, the first transition you witnessed, Bob and Dave, and then Bob wrote the book. And you had a front row seat to watch that. And then, as you said, handing off your baby and the emotions around that. And then a succession not going to plan at one of the biggest churches in the country at the time. And I would also add, Todd, that right now you're watching it real time as teaching pastor at a church in Chicago. You're watching it happen right now. What are you learning from that real time experience?
Yeah, you know, the church where I've been a teaching pastor now for the last 8 years has gone through a transition with a person who's been there 33 years. I mean, when he came to the church, it was 200 or 300 people. Now it's 8,000 or 9,000 people. And it is a huge, complex organization that he and his wife and family have poured their life into. And they have just recently made that successful succession transition. There's a new person there that we were honored at Slingshot to be able to help find and place. And that transition is happening real time now this fall in that church. And, you know, what I've learned from it is that it's this really does test a senior leader, because you can preach all of these things for all of these years about being faithful, about being trusting, you know, that it's God's church, not our church. And you can have all of these messages. But then when it comes to your last, you know, 3, 4, 6, 8 months, you have to actually live out those messages you preached. And preaching is way easier than living it out. And so it's challenging for leaders. And, but it does give that opportunity to model what you've been preaching to the congregation. It gives that opportunity to model. So many of our congregations, whether you have 100 people or 1,000 people, doesn't matter. There's people in your congregation that are a principal at a school, or they have a family run business, or they're a part of a Fortune 100 or 500 company or something. They are looking at transition. And they may or may not have any idea and any model in the marketplace in their real-time job. Let's say a principal of a school or, again, a family business. And a pastor in a church can help his congregation see and understand how to successfully and in an honoring way, full of integrity, actually make a transition and hand things to the next generation.
I'm glad you gave voice to that, Todd, that, you know, it can be a church of 100, it can be a church of 1,000 or 5,000. You've seen it at huge, large scales, but we've lost count of the number of succession journeys you walk through with churches that are in the hundreds. And I know there are nuances to each. And also, we should say, this conversation is for everybody, because churches will ask us, hey, when should we start thinking about succession? And we'll respond with every day. I mean, you always need to be thinking about leadership development. You always need to be thinking about the handoff. Also, every position in the organization. If you have a team of people, there's always going to be succession happening in those other levels and roles in your organization. But when succession goes bad, what are some of the top mistakes that you see churches make?
Yeah, well, succession goes bad when several things. There is not clear communication to the staff, congregation, and community. If there's not a clear roadmap and track of communication, you know, for weeks and months, and sometimes even years before the actual, you know, hand off the baton or whatever, if there's not clear communication in those days and months and years leading up to that, you can almost bet that it's going to go bad. One of the biggest, you know, hallmarks of it not going well is just that it wasn't communicated clearly. And people need to know that. And how you communicate and when you communicate and to whom you communicate this again, is rather complex because not everybody needs to know everything at the same time. But your board needs to know things before your staff, who needs to know things before your congregation, who needs to know things before your community. But a lot of times things get out of place and all of a sudden somebody in the congregation knows something before somebody on the staff and it just breaks loose. It goes bad. So communication is definitely one of those things that is very, very important to keep your eye on and your heart on. And it's so hard for senior leaders in transition to keep doing everything they're doing, but also be the one to create that clear communication timeline. So sometimes it's other people coming alongside them to help them do that. So, I mean, that's a big, you know, reason that they end up going sideways. Another reason is that the senior leader, and no matter who they are, doesn't have anything to go to next. We usually don't want to let go of what we're holding on to until we have something else to grab. It's just human nature, right? If you're falling off the edge of a cliff, you grab a branch. You have to have something else to grab. And sometimes leaders will transition without something else to grab hold of. And that can cause a lot of anxiousness in the person and the people who love that person.
Speaking of the senior leader needing to have something to go to, Todd, how many times have we seen the whole countenance of a leader change in their attitude towards their own pending succession when that has been worked out? Often we'll see it go from the head, knowing that they need to walk through transition and succession. Suddenly their heart catches up. Speak a little about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, just another massive conversation in church leadership. And again, it doesn't really matter what role you have in the church or nonprofit, but it is especially true for senior leaders who have any amount of tenure. And the truth of the matter is, I've seen this and I've worked through this myself, and that is that your head usually leaves before your heart does. So your head transitions, if you will, before your heart transitions. And what it causes all kinds of problems because it causes a huge dichotomy and anxiousness even within the person, because usually their head and their heart have been congruent at the place they are. For years or for even decades, they've been in line. But then all of a sudden, when they start to think about the future, their head starts to dream of other things. Some new nonprofit, some new mission they're going to do, some new organization they want to go be on the board of. So their head starts to dream of new things, even though their heart is still right there with the people and the place that they love. And so it's incredibly challenging. That's one of the reasons a clear communication timeline is so important, because for a senior leader, it helps their head get back in line with their heart and be congruent. Hey, I feel this way, but in my head, I know we have to make some of these announcements to these people. And it allows them to work more in tandem together. But it's incredibly challenging when you start to dream other things, but your heart is still there. And the fact of the matter is, if you love that place, which most all leaders who are transitioning away from somewhere still love that place and those people, your heart may still be at that place long after you transition, and your mind is already thinking and working on somewhere else. So, you know, I talk to senior leaders all the time who feel guilty, you know, behind the scenes, that they just don't have the passion, or I don't have any gas in the tank, or, you know, I love preaching, but I just can't do the day to day. And what they're describing is that their head is thinking and dreaming on other things, even though their heart is really there. And it creates a lot of tension inside the body of a leader.
That's often, I think, why, Todd, we always say, hey, we would ideally love to be involved as an outside voice 2 years ahead of the succession, so that we can start tilling that soil and helping that leader work out what's next, and start with things like having those discussions about what the next chapter looks like, a life plan, those kinds of things. Also, we have to remember that these churches, that we run and we're a part of are an organization, but they're also a family. And the family, the church family, needs to celebrate what this leader is being called to, not just the senior leader, but succession at other high profile positions in the organization. If you can celebrate what that leader is being called to, you give a handle for the congregation to hold on to walk through that succession in a more healthy way. Todd, what are some of the trends you're seeing when succession is done well?
One of them is just what you were saying right there in the celebration, the celebration of the current senior leader. And one of the biggest axioms and principles about transitioning a senior leader to a new leader is this: the way they will celebrate the new incoming leader has everything to do with how you celebrated the outgoing leader. Or should I say, the way they accept the new leader has to do everything with how you celebrate the outgoing leader, right? So here's what I mean, Tim. Let's say me and you are transitioning an organization and you're a beloved leader and you've been there for 10 or 15 or 20 years, but people in the congregation don't feel like, or on the staff, don't feel like Tim was celebrated appropriately. I mean, we had one thing after church for an hour. That's all we had. We had cupcakes and punch for an hour. And Tim has been here for 20 years. If anybody in the congregation thinks that you weren't celebrated effectively, or they think you were at all, this was done to you, or you were pushed out, do you know who they will take that out on? Me, the next person coming in. Whoever is coming in after you gets all of that wrath because you were done wrong. So they're going to take it out on the new guy. So I'm just telling you, one of the biggest things that you can do in a successful succession is appropriately celebrate the outgoing leader, because the way you celebrate them draws a direct line to how the congregation and staff will accept the new person, right? And that's just a huge, you see that happen all the time. And for the outgoing leader, they want to be done being celebrated. I don't need to have a dessert on Friday night and a members gathering on Monday night and two different weekends. They're like, I'm done with that. But here's the thing. The celebration is not for them. The celebration is for the people that they have been loving and serving. Every single senior leader I know, and I've worked with probably 100 of these in the last 7 or 8 years alone, talking and working with people, every single one of them grows weary of all of the parties, all of the hugs, all of the thank yous, all of the celebration. But I'm always reminding them, it's not for you. It's for your staff. It's for the congregation who needs to love you and celebrate you and express their thanks to you so that they can then accept the new senior leader that'll be coming in. So, I mean, that's definitely a hallmark, you know, of successful successions, how you celebrate them. Also, knowing what you're going to go to next. I'm always encouraging these senior leaders to get a life plan. And there's all kinds of great organizations out there these days who will dive in with a person and their spouse and really look at where you've been, where you are now, and how God has made you for the future. You know, what's your best next? And one of the hardest byproducts of success, and so many of these senior leaders have been successful, right? One of the hardest byproducts of success is opportunity. So many of them have two or three or four opportunities. Once they let go of their senior leader position, they have two or three or four things they could grab a hold of. And the truth is, they don't know which one to grab a hold of. And it's kind of paralyzing. In some ways, it's like, hey, I'd be great just to have one thing and one offer. But the byproduct of success is opportunity. And so oftentimes, these leaders will need somebody with fresh eyes and tools and perspective to help them vet out all of the future opportunities and which one of those to really grab and head into next, because they can't always see it on their own.
I would even say, Todd, byproduct of faithfulness is opportunity as well.
Right.
And so many leaders we see will hold on longer than they should and actually thwart the story that God is wanting to write in the next season of ministry. Really, succession is about open-handedness and saying, God, let's all be part of the story that you're writing here. And you know, it's interesting you talk about celebrating the leader and who will get blamed if you don't do it well. How many boardrooms have we been in where the board will go, oh, we know, they'll all blame us. And no, they won't. This is about helping your new leader start well and helping your congregation or church family, helping pastor them through this season. You know, there are so many different reasons for needing outside voices in this process. Talk about why that's important.
It's important because it's emotional, and it, especially as a pastor in a church, it's so hard to delineate your life and your work. Right? It's just who I am. It's what I do. I don't know how to do or be anything else. So there's just tremendous emotion associated with actually putting the timeline out there and making the transition. And it's so important to have those other outside voices because, I mean, I work even just this week, I have been on Zoom calls and conversations with people where we had to not only have the senior leader on there, but we had to have someone else from the staff or the board on the same call saying, hey, remember, this was our timeline that we set out a year or two or three ago, and just kind of holding accountable, but doing it with love and care and tenderness. But it's so, so easy for a senior leader to just keep pushing out and pushing out and pushing out that timeline. And when you do that, especially if you're trying to attract and have already retained a new senior leader, you're probably going to lose them because they're not going to want to stay and then stay and then stay. And you're also going to confuse the congregation and the staff. And so having those outside eyes and outside voices, you know, those coaches in our life is critical because the last 90 days of a leader's tenure at a place carry, let's just say, 90 times the weight. What I'm saying is how you leave is how you're remembered. It's just true. How you leave is how you're remembered. And we've all seen it, right? You can be somewhere 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years and everything be mostly great. But in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months, things go off the rails and how you leave is how you're remembered. And so just I'm telling leaders all the time, and I've experienced this in my own life with team members and staff and volunteers and things like that. Your voice carries 90 times the weight in the last 90 days of your tenure, meaning if you will write notes to people, you know, and encourage them, and man, they will keep those notes forever because they got them at such a critical time in your leadership journey. Those notes will mean everything to them in your teaching and preaching, in the staff meetings that you have. Any bit of encouragement and energy that you give to them will go a long ways. But it's also true that any criticism or anything spoken in, you know, with any bit of anger or because you are just ready to be done or something like that, anything that is derogatory at all also holds 90 times the weight and can crush somebody. Even maybe you used to be super sarcastic with your team or joke around with your team, and you say something that's really sarcastic in the last 90 days, and they take that with them for the rest of their lives because your words carry 90 times the weight in the last 90 days of your tenure. It's huge.
How you leave is how you're remembered. There's some exploding dynamite from this conversation today, Todd. Thank you. And that applies regardless of where you sit on the org chart. If you're transitioning out, how you leave is how you're remembered. That 90 figure is an important one, crucial in a leader's life and an organization. We sometimes refer to it internally as our 180 initiative, the last 90 days, but also the first 90 days. You talk about words having 90 times the weight. In the first 90 days of a leader's tenure, they're earning the right to for their words to have weight. Talk about some of the mistakes people make in their first 90 days.
Oh, wow. In their first, you know, in your first 90 days, whenever you're coming into an organization, you usually want to show everyone that you were the right hire. I deserved to be hired. I deserve to gain this salary. I deserve to have you move us here. Whatever it may be, in our minds, we want everybody who was anywhere involved or viewing the hiring process to believe they made a great decision. So we so oftentimes in the first 90 days allocate a level of energy and time that is just not sustainable. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard and it doesn't take time to get up to speed and there aren't seasons that we work more. It's absolutely true. But to think that everything is going to have to happen in the first 90 days is just not true. It's important to get a good start, a smart start in the first 90 days. And that almost always involves some kind of external coaching or voice or tools that are put into your life, because you know the direction that you get started out in is so critical, because that's the direction you're going to keep going. And if you get 5 or 10 degrees off of where the organization is at in that first 90 days and you shoot off in a direction that's 10 degrees off within the first year or 18 months, you're going to be completely skewed from the organization. And so that first 90 days is both the responsibility of the organization and the incoming leader.
Yeah, it's interesting, Todd. This whole concept of 90 days has become crystallized for us at Slingshot, because we've realized how critical the first 90 days of a search process is, and the art balanced with science that we've had to employ to make sure we're looking for the right kind of leader, to really clarify what we're looking for, to be intentional at candidates that we're reviewing. We've talked about the weight of the final 90 days of a leader's calling or work at a given church. We've talked about how important starting well is, and this has become so important to us, Todd. As you know, we're now offering a first 90 days coaching resource with every placement, because we believe in this so much. We want your new leader to start well and to stay well. And it's all about learning the story of the organization, learning the current status, investing in the relationships, giving a framework and some tools to help you do that well in the first 9 days. Could you get one shot at those first 9 days? And then tools to build out what a win looks like in the coming years, and also a vision statement for your own leadership role wherever you are in the organization. Because starting well is important, but staying well is most important. Todd, we've got a lot of leaders listening to this today that are leading through and navigating some type of transition or succession within their church or their team. What's your advice for them and how they can be a part of the solution?
Yeah. So Tim, you're speaking specifically to people who are thinking that them currently of themselves, or they have someone on the team that they need to help transition, because there's a couple of sides to this conversation.
Yeah, I would say let's speak specifically to the person who is actually going to be facilitating some type of succession, whether it be a different role in the organization, or they're getting ready to lead a search team, or there might be board members listening today that are getting ready to support their church through a season of succession.
Yeah, I think whenever you're going to help somebody go through a season of succession, transition, again, it's just important to have somebody who's run some of that track before you, and being okay with that. Succession transition, hopefully, is not something that churches are experts and pros at, because you want people to stay. You want to retain people for a long, long time. And so a lot of times the people we're working with at Slingshot, you know, they haven't had to go through transition or succession for decades. And they're you know, they're not experts on it. So having somebody to come alongside you, a lot of times I talk about it somebody who's on a whitewater rafting trip, right? There's probably certain people listening to this who've been on whitewater rafting trips before. And the analogy would be that when you're on a whitewater rafting trip, and let's say you're in like class 3 rapids, right? Class three rapids are pretty calm, actually. You probably have your life vest unbuttoned, you know, undone. You're just kind of catching some rays and stuff like that. Now you move into class four rapids, you probably buckle up your life vest and you're thinking, okay, I got to be careful here. You go into class five rapids, you're buckled up, your hands are grabbing the side, your toes are dug under the boat. You're listening to your guide on, hey, everybody get to the left, everybody get to the right. Listen, any transition succession seasons for anyone in the church are the equivalent of class five rapids. It can be scary. It can feel dangerous. You can feel like, I'm not sure that I know how to guide this boat down this river. The beauty of having a coach and what we love at Slingshot is that we get to guide teams, boards, and individuals through these rapids every week, every month. And so I get to get together with teams and say, listen, one of the things that's going to be coming, if you hear your congregation stay in this, or if your staff is wanting more input into this than you're comfortable with, guess what? That's a normal part of the course of replacing a senior leader. And so there's these big rocks, in other words, that are common in a succession journey. And if you have a guide, they can say to everyone on the boat, hey, everybody lean to the right. We're getting ready to come up on a big rock here. Here's what it is. We're going to make our way around it and cruise on down the river. But having that kind of voice the advice I would give. Don't be afraid to invite in a trusted voice or coach in this season. And then also, if you're going to be leading through this, realize again, I think we've said this in different ways, but there are all kinds of tactical things that need to happen. All kinds of tactical things. But it is emotional all the way through. It's emotional for the leader that's transitioning and also their spouse, and taking care of them, honoring them. Oftentimes during transition succession seasons, especially with senior pastors, what's so wild is this: the relationship between the senior pastor and the board almost switches. The senior pastor has been pastoring his board and his church for years. But during a transition season, the board has to also pastor and love their pastor.
You know, when I listen to you talk, Todd, we need to take this so seriously, but hold it loosely, because it's his church, not ours, and he is writing the story. But we need to do the right work to facilitate a healthy process. And to your point, I remember at my own local church, the lead pastor that I served for many years invited me in the room when he announced it to the eldership. He'd been there for 28 years. Mm-hmm. And then he walked out of the room and they looked at me and I said, he's been your captain for the last 28 years in all the big decisions. And now the biggest decision in 28 years you're going to have to make without the captain. Yeah. And so get prayed up and seek God in this. And let's talk about how this is going to work and roll.
Yeah. And I love what one of our other Slingshot associates says about that season with boards. I just think it's so true, is that most of these boards, most of these elders that are working with churches, they are experts in something, but it's usually something other than the church. And that's why they're on the board. They love the church. They want everything to go smoothly, and they are absolutely experts in their field, but it's not always the church. And so bringing someone else alongside the board that wants to do well and steward this season in a God-honoring way is just smart. And most boards do recognize that they need that voice to come in and be an adjunct member of that team. And by the way, Tim, going back to one of the things I think we mentioned earlier, I just in the last 3 or 4 months, I have helped people in succession transition who are senior leaders. I've helped a person who was 44 years old in transition. and step away. Person who is 44, several in their 50s, and several in their late 60s. So this is something that cuts across the grain of all of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. This is not just 60s and 70-year-olds. Sometimes great, powerful, the one 40-year-old senior leader was transitioning into another field in the marketplace, but needed to successfully transition his church that is healthy and that loves him. But he's like 44 years old. And so this is a conversation. It doesn't matter if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s. This is something that is happening all across our country with all different age groups.
Todd, we've seen succession go bad. We've seen it go ugly. But we've also seen powerful moments where this process can be transformational for the church and for the leaders involved. And honestly, it's the highest calling for us in the work that we do to walk through this with churches. And one of the churches that comes to mind is one you and I have both become close with because of our work with them over the years. And we chronicled that journey with Christ Fellowship Miami. And we're going to put a link to that video in the show notes so people can watch it. But there was a piece you said at the end about how a day will come. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, every single one of us is a leader in transition. Every single one of us. And it's not about us, it's about the bride. It's about the bride. It's about the church. And we get to steward this. We get to do this. I say all the time, we get to do this for a period of time, whether it's 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years. And then we are in succession. And the day will come when all of us find ourselves in this boat going down this river of transition and succession. And that's a normal part of God's church in the leadership transition in that. And Christ Fellowship in Miami was a beautiful, exciting picture of this. With an internal leader taking the responsibility and the mantle, the baton from a long tenured previous leader. But it took, you know, for what happened on the stage for just one weekend to a lot of the congregation, it was one big, huge celebratory weekend. For the church and for the other senior leaders behind the scenes, it took a year. It took a year to prepare for that weekend. So a lot of what's seen in the Christ Fellowship video is the celebration of how well it went on that weekend. But it took a year or 15 months to get to that weekend successfully.
Yeah. Todd, that's a perfect way to close out this powerful conversation. Thank you for your insights and for all the work you and your team are doing along with the boards and those serving right now at a local level that might be listening, how you're stewarding your churches through this process to help succession go right and be healthy. Todd, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening. I hope there were plenty of takeaways in that conversation for you with Todd today, because all of us are dealing with succession or transition at some point in our organization, and it's unique for every different church. So be thinking about how that can be healthy in your context. As I said in the conversation, when should you be talking or thinking about succession? Every day, because it comes down to leadership development. And odds are, you know, another leader or another church that's walking through this right now is getting ready to walk through it. Please feel free to just send them a link to this conversation. And also, maybe you're in the middle of it right now. Maybe it's gotten messy and you need help. It would be our honor to walk with you through that. Just go over to slingshotgroup.org/succession and reach out to us. We would love to walk with you. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this, please subscribe, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, share it with another leader, and until next time, stay curious and reach for the remarkable.